And if you have your Bible, then I would invite you to please turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Acts chapter 2, I will begin by reading from verse 42. So brothers and sisters, this is God's holy and inerrant word. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Well, we have been in this topical series called A Devoted Church. We have been looking at all the characteristics that Luke has described to us about what a devoted church looks like in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. He tells us that the Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. And we're going to talk about the prayers today. And I know and understand this is the four characteristics that is written in Acts 2:42, but I decided to address the breaking of bread next Sunday instead, because we will actually be celebrating the Lord's Supper next Sunday as a body of Christ. So let's talk about prayer for this morning. Prayer just simply means talking to God. It's nothing complicated. It means talking to God. And when you think about it at the most basic level, I think prayer should be the least demanding of all spiritual discipline. What I mean by that is that you can pray anywhere, at any times, under any circumstances. You can pray while driving, particularly if someone cuts you off. You can pray while transiting. You can pray by closing your eyes. You can pray in the middle of evangelizing to the lost. And it shouldn't matter how long you've been a Christian for. Even the youngest Christian and even the inexperienced Christian can have access to God in prayer through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is no doubt that prayer is spiritually beneficial for a Christian walk. Whenever I disciple a new believer, prayer would be my top five topics that I would teach, because it is the basic introduction to the Christian life. And no Christian would argue against the importance of prayer. It should grow in our relationship with Him. It should grow our trust in Him. It should humble us, knowing that we are utterly dependent upon Him. And it should deepen our love and our intimacy with our Heavenly Father. But it is perhaps not too off base to state that prayer is difficult for all of us, and maybe sometimes unsatisfying. And I'm not talking about just saying grace before a meal. What I'm talking about is spending time with God in prayer on a regular basis, with either by yourself or with other people or with other Christians. And maybe it feels unsatisfying because from our human level, prayer just seems, quote unquote, boring. And it just doesn't seem to do anything. So if you're struggling with your prayer life, then know that you are alone. You're not alone. Because I must confess that this is the area of spiritual discipline that I struggle with for the most part ever since I became a believer. And prayer is probably the weakest aspect of my Christian life. I don't often spend quantitative and qualitative time with the Lord in prayer as I should. But by the grace of God, I praise the Lord that he has been sanctifying me and pruning me in this area because I desire to make it a habit. I desire to make it a routine in my prayer in my Christian life to pray as often as possible. D.A. Carson, perhaps one of the best New Testament theologians of our time, he admits to this as well, where he says, "I confess I am not a very good student in a school of prayer." So the subject of prayer is vast and it's deep. It's simple yet complex. And the time that we have in this sermon this morning is not sufficient to cover all aspects of prayer. But the focus of this message is what Luke in Acts 2:42 is trying to tell us about these new Christians. That is, they devoted themselves to the prayers. In other words, this message is focused on corporate prayer. Luke is talking about corporate prayer here. The other day, I was reading a research and academic paper or thesis about corporate prayer. And yes, I know, I do read very nerdy stuff from time to time. And the writer gave this insight in his introduction, and I quote, "Corporate prayer in the American church worship service is normally limited at best, and often opportunities for the church to gather for corporate prayer at other times during the week have poor turnout," end quote. And in addition, John Piper, the founder of Desiring God, he once said this to his congregation, and I quote, "I think that praying in the assembly of other believers is more neglected than praying alone, alone and assembled. The New Testament is full of corporate prayer gatherings. In fact, most prayer in the New Testament is probably thought of in terms of gatherings for prayer," end quote. It is true. A lot of the prayers you read in the New Testament letters seem to be corporate because the authors, they wrote to the church. They wrote to the church, to the assembly of God's people. Moreover, I think corporate prayer might be harder than private prayer because that requires you to pray with more than one person. So I wonder, brothers and sisters, how are you doing in this area of corporate prayer? And what steps can you take to make this discipline more realistic in your walk with Christ? Of course, I praise the Lord that there are people here in this morning who are so committed to corporate prayer. But for those of you who are struggling, maybe ever since COVID happened, maybe the last time you prayed with other Christians was during pre-COVID. If that is you this morning, then I encourage you to consider this morning's message, to actually apply corporate prayer to your life once and again. Corporate prayer is a spiritual discipline that Christians are to exercise in their life. And as much as it is important to pray to the Lord by yourself, it is also essential to be in prayer with other believers. And so with that said, what is corporate prayer? Here's a definition that I borrow from John Piper, where he said this, and I quote, "Corporate prayer or corporate praying is praying or prayers offered to God in the hearing of other believers who agree with and affirm the prayers in some way," end quote. So what he says here, and also in other parts of his statement in this quote, he says that corporate prayer should communicate in some ways three elements. One, togetherness. Two, agreement. And third, affirmation. So first of all, corporate prayer tells us that we are to be together. Togetherness suggests to us that we should at least hear each other and also to see each other. Second, there is agreement. Corporate prayer is not just an individual praying and you're just listening passively. You are to participate in that prayer. So whenever I'm praying or Brian was just praying, you are actually joining alongside with him in prayer as well. And if you agree with that prayer, then you could, you should signal that agreement through affirmation. You see, whenever I pray, I personally love it when brothers and sisters would respond to my prayer in some way, some form or some fashion by vocalizing their agreement and affirmation in ways such as, mm-hmm, or yes, Lord, or amen to that. This is not meant to make the person praying feel better about himself or herself, because prayer is not about boosting someone's ego, because that misses the point. Rather, the point is that the church is together as the prayer is being lifted up to the throne of grace. And furthermore, the other point is that there is unity in the church. There is oneness in the church. There is edification in the church, which we will get to later on in this message. And so we'll work with that definition of corporate prayer. And so we will look at the scriptures to discover what these Christians did about corporate prayer. See, the main point I want to make is very serious, simple. Christians are to devote themselves to the prayers. They are to devote themselves to the prayers. And if you're a follower of Christ today, this is something that you are to do. And so we get back into Acts 2:42, where these new believers were eager. They were eager and they were persistent as they engage in the responsibility and the discipline and the duty of prayer. When Luke says that they devoted themselves to the prayers, this could refer to the set prayer time at the Jerusalem temple. See, these Jews, they routinely went to the temple to pray to God with the people of God. Yet at the same time, although they were Jews, they were also born-again Christians. Their prayer life was radically changed after they met Jesus. They found a new sense of meaning in praying and worshiping God that was so different to Judaism. And as they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, I would say there's no doubt that the apostles taught them a prayer that the Lord Jesus taught them. In Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, Luke tells us this. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'" This prayer was revolutionary in a sense that it gave the disciples a fresh understanding of addressing God as their Father. The Jews should have understood that God is their Father. It's written in various parts in the Old Testament. However, Israel had a very rebellious history. They sinned against God by worshiping pagan idols. They fell away from God to the point that they lost that sense of intimacy with him. And if you know the story of Abraham, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob, Moses, and David, they had a rather intimate, personal relationship with God. But these Jews, they only view God from a distance, someone who seemed to be impersonal to them. But now, however, as born-again believers, they can address God in an intimate and personal way as their heavenly Father. Because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again on the third day, paid the penalty of their sins, imputed his righteousness into their status, and reconciled them to a saving relationship with God the Father. And when you read the Lord's Prayer, like in Luke chapter 11 or in Matthew chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, you should notice that this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is designed to be corporate. It is designed to be corporate. Notice how many times Jesus taught his disciples by saying this, "Our Father, Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, and so forth. They are all in the first person plural pronoun. Jesus had already had in mind to teach his disciples the importance of praying corporately as a community of God's people and together as a family of God. Jesus breaks down the wrong notion that being a Christian is all about the me and Jesus attitude. No, Jesus died for the church. Jesus died for the church so that the church can come together as one body of Christ in fellowship and also in prayer and many other things. The Lord's Prayer, the teaching of Jesus, is evident and plain that corporate prayer is taught in Scripture. And so, brothers and sisters, here's the first lesson that I wanted to give to you, and that is corporate prayer must be taken seriously by the church. We are to take this seriously. When reading the book of Acts, no one should be blind to the fact that the early Christians were serious about corporate prayer. Daryl Bach, a New Testament scholar from Dallas Theological Seminary, he gives this remark about corporate prayer in the context of Luke's writing of Acts. He says this, and I quote, "A community at prayer is something Luke emphasizes about community life. It seeks God's direction and is dependent upon God because God's family of people do not work by feelings or intuition, but by actively submitting themselves to the Lord's direction," end quote. And you see that everywhere, in a lot of places in the book of Acts. There are so many examples in Acts where corporate prayer is demonstrated. There are about 14 references to corporate prayer in Acts. But I only draw your attention to only a few references, because we don't have time to cover all those references, but only a few of them I want to give you. You may remember in Acts chapter 1, after the ascension of Jesus, you may remember that Jesus' followers immediately went back to the temple, or to Jerusalem in the upper room, and devoted themselves to corporate prayer as they were waiting for the Lord to pour out the Holy Spirit upon them. That's what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The text tells us that all these, with one accord, were devoted themselves to prayer. They were together. They had one purpose. They were like-minded. Furthermore, they were seeking and they were praying to the Lord Jesus for discernment and guidance in making the major decision in choosing a man of God to replace Judas Iscariot in the apostleship. Peter used the reasoning to describe the qualification of the apostleship. Two qualified men were candidates, but only one of them could be chosen. None of them used any sort of sentimentalism in this decision process. None of them were inserting their own personal biases and agendas. None of them said, oh, let's choose both of them because we don't want to offend one of them if he's not chosen. Instead, they sought the will of God. And it was God's will that Matthias was chosen. And there was no protests afterwards. There were no arguments and strife. They were together when this decision was made. They were one. They were in agreement. They were in unity. And they were in agreement and they were in affirmation with the choice. They just simply submitted themselves to God in obedience to his will and not their own will. So lesson number two is that corporate prayer displays fellowship and unity. It displays fellowship and unity. Another reference that I want to highlight is Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. I don't have time to read this passage this morning, but let me just summarize it by saying that Peter and John, they actually returned to their fellow Christians, and they reported the Sanhedrin's injunction against the preaching of the gospel. So in response, the Christians, they prayed, they gathered together, they prayed, and they asked God for power to witness even more boldly. And two verses that I want to draw your attention are verses 23 to 24 and verse 31, the sandwich of this passage. Luke tells us, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard, they lifted their voices together to God. And then they prayed. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it tells us this. And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Remember, Jesus promised back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that his people will be his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the world. However, that doesn't mean that there wouldn't be obstacles. As a matter of fact, what Peter and John experienced earlier in chapter 4 of Acts was the first Christian persecution. And I think the main point in their corporate prayer here is asking God for boldness to witness. They didn't pray for less persecution, but they pray for boldness. This prayer implies, I think, faithfulness to continue to tell others about Jesus despite hardship and trouble. And this prayer was in direct opposition against the religious leaders who just told them, stop telling others about Jesus. Don't teach the name of Jesus Christ. And as a result, they just gathered together, they prayed. Nope, we're going to pray. We're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to ask God for strength and boldness. And they did. And the Spirit filled them and empowered them to continue to speak the word of God with boldness. Trouble and hardship should not stop you from being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. It should, however, lead you to share this burden with the church, to come to church for prayer, and ask the church to pray for you, to ask the church to have your back, to support you in your work, and to find healing, to find encouragement, to find exhortation as the church family uplifts you to the Lord in prayer. Corporate prayer, for our third lesson, corporate prayer should edify the church and be faithful and to be bold. Corporate prayer should edify the church to be faithful and bold. That's what it should do. Those are the three lessons we can learn so far in the book of Acts. And we can go for hours searching the scriptures to discover the richness about corporate prayer. I haven't even touched the rest of the book of Acts. I haven't even gone through the rest of the New Testament. But the New Testament keeps telling us this: be constant in prayer, pray without ceasing, and all those verses. There are teachings to be learned from the Old Testament about corporate prayer. There are so many things we can grasp. We can probably go beyond learning at least 10 lessons about corporate prayer and just dig deep into its theology and its significance. But for now, I'll just give you these three lessons. Please, church, take it seriously. Take it seriously. And church, come and be, and let's join together as a family to pray together, because it should unify us. It should be an expression of fellowship. And if you are in need, as Gary has always been saying in the announcement, if you have anything in need, we can pray for you. We can lift you up to the Lord. And we hope by praying for you, you'll be edified spiritually in your walk with Christ. So brothers and sisters, corporate prayer is essential in the life of the church and in the life of a Christian. There is no excuse for Christians not to be involved in corporate prayer when God instructs the church to pray together as a community. You must not just be a hearer of the word, but also be a doer of the word, lest you be deceiving yourselves. So practically, what does this look like at Oak Ridge Baptist Church? Well, first, we have corporate prayer spread out in the service, from invocation to congregational prayer to offering prayer during pre-COVID, although it would be nice to bring back offering prayer, and even prayer by the pastor. Second, we have prayer groups that meet throughout the week. There's the pre-service prayer meeting that meets on Sunday mornings to pray for the service and to pray about a variety of things. There are also, third, Bible study groups as well. But right now, of course, my Tuesday night group is currently on a summer break. But what we usually do for a prayer time is at the end is to lay down the items that we should pray for, whatever burdens, whatever needs you have, or whatever issues the church has. We lay it all down before the Lord. And we all take turns, each of us. We all take turns bringing each item to the Lord in prayer. And I'm sure there are a lot of prayers that happen in various Bible study groups. So this is what it looks like. And I would encourage you to take the step of faith and to apply this topic into your life. What steps can you take to make this discipline more realistic in your walk with Christ? Well, first, if I can give you some exhortation, two of them. Find someone whom you can commit to praying together with. Just someone. Maybe there are some of you who struggle. Maybe some of you are reluctant to pray publicly with other believers. And I get that. But what if you were in a small size group? What if you were just with another mature believer who can pray for you and with you as well? This person could be your Christian friend. This person could be your mentor or your spouse. So find someone. Corporate prayer begins with at least one person. Find someone to pray with. Second, resolve to join a small group in the life of a church. Resolve to join a small group in the life of a church. Participate in what's happening in the church. And be a part of praying and lifting up some of the issues and challenges that the church has to the Lord. I encourage you to do that. Brothers and sisters, may you understand and adhere to the basic and fundamental discipline of the Christian life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is probably the best example of corporate prayer. He did not always pray by himself, but he took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, to go to the mountain with him to pray together, I believe. And not only that, our Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us that we would be one just as he and the Father are one. And when the church is in unity, as expressed in corporate prayer, for example, it is a testimony to the world that we are followers of Jesus. It is a testimony to the world that the Father has sent Jesus into the world. And it is a testimony and reflection of God's glory shown in our lives. And if you are not involved in any groups in the life of the church or connecting with Christians, then I think you do lack the aspect of corporate prayer in your Christian life. You are not performing the duty and responsibility that the Lord has given to you. You are not devoted to the prayers that the Lord would have you. So please, brothers and sisters, make it your intention and your resolution to apply corporate prayer into your life. And if the church is to be devoted to the Lord, if the church is to be devoted to honoring and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, if the church is to be a devoted church, then it should be devoted to the prayers. Let's pray. Father God, I pray even now, as we come together as a church of prayer. Pray that you would please speak to us from this lesson, from this message, from your word about this, about the importance of community, that we do need each other. We are constantly in a spiritual warfare. We are soldiers of Christ, but we are not soldiers by ourselves, but we are to be soldiers together during this time when the world is crooked, when the world is against you and hostile towards you, and even hostile towards believers. And when we come together as prayers, we have each other's backs. We can support one another. And that's what God, you created the church to be, so that we can support each other and edify each other and encourage one another, all for your glory. So, Lord Jesus, I pray that we as a church would reflect this. We pray that we will reflect you, this triune God, who is one in community, Father, Son, and Spirit. And that for those who are listening, who have been isolated, I pray that they would come back and to be a part of the family of God, and to take it seriously, and to be encouraged. But I pray that you would still comfort them. I pray that you would encourage them. And that, Lord, we as a church family, we want to continue to love those who are struggling and to lift them up to you, Lord. So I pray all these things in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.